Won't you look in your Bibles to the book of Luke this morning? Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 41. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 41. You're well and able to stand today. I appreciate all the singing. I appreciate that special music. I'm glad he's faithful, and I'm glad he can bring back that new. Amen. Be honest with you, that's just really waiting on you and I. What we're going to do, amen, if we want it, he can do it. And I praise him and I thank him for that today. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 41 through the remainder of the chapter, and then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart today. Luke chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says that, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for mercy, and I thank you for grace. Lord, I thank you that you are long-suffering. Lord, I thank you that you care and you're mindful. I pray now for just a little while, may our hearts be good, fertile ground for the word of God. Would you speak to us? Would you help us? Oh, God, in the furtherance of this service, in the preaching of the word of God, I'm thankful for every song and how the songs have ministered grace to our hearts and lives. Have your way, save that soul that's lost. I pray for the backslider to get right. I pray for the burden down to get help. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. I've read to you some verses that just to be honest with you, there's parts of it that my little finite mind cannot grab around every detail. But I will say this, I do know enough in the text to know how to live and how to do, amen. Because in this Bible, you're going to come across text how sometimes you say, wow, how is that possible? But yet, I may not understand, yet by faith I believe. Amen. We find in this passage one of the very few passages that gives us a glimpse into the childhood of our Lord. There's not much said about his childhood as far as the record of the scripture goes, but here at the age of 12, they go to Jerusalem for the Passover, and we find Mary and Joseph after those days are headed back to Nazareth, and Jesus stays at the temple. Now here's something that's good to notice and think about. As they're there with those doctors, with those that know the law, Jesus is answering questions, and he's even probably asking some questions. Now, the Lord in his deity does not need to learn anything. But in this passage, we are seeing where Christ had wrapped himself in flesh, had to come into this world, had to be the sacrifice for sin. And so we find some interesting, but I'm interested in an application in this text of scripture this morning. How plain interpretation is a historical record of this childhood event of our Lord. But I want to preach on this subject and draw some lessons from this text and preach on this subject just a few minutes on how to get out of fellowship with the Lord. How to get out of fellowship with the Lord. We find that as Joseph and Mary head back to Nazareth, they do not recognize that the Lord is not in their company. Now, understand this. I'm aware Jesus lives in our hearts. That never changes. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But ladies and gentlemen, our fellowship with him many times can get interrupted. We allow things in our life or allow events in our life that breaks that fellowship that we have with God. I want you to look and hear me this morning. Your fellowship with God is more important than anything this world has. There's nothing like having fellowship with the very God who said, let there be, and there was. Oh, to walk with him and have time of communion with him. What a blessing that is. But you know what? Many times our fellowship gets broke. You know, I'm coming to learn this. Sometimes people don't even know their fellowship is broken. As sure, now this is a simple carnal illustration, but hear me. As sure as you can go to the ocean and stand there on the seashore there and be watching folk in the water, that current can move you though you're not knowing or seeing that you're being moved. Can I say that's the way it is our fellowship sometimes? That's why, as Sister Meyer sung this morning, we need God to bring back the new. We're not going to get saved again. We're saved once and for all. Amen. But that fellowship gets broken, and we need restoration of fellowship. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm a Shelton by birth. I have Shelton blood in me. They want to cut me off. Don't matter. I'm still Shelton. You understand that. Your family can have nothing to do with you, but you're still who you are. Hey, when I was growing up, man, and listen, I love mama, and mama loves me and loves my brothers, and I like it when she love on me and spoil me, but when I done wrong, our fellowship got interrupted. Amen. She wasn't as kind as she had previously been, and with good reason. Amen. Hey, sometimes the hickory of wrath would have to be applied. Amen. I know that is not a popular thing in our day, and everybody cringes when you talk about it. But hey, my mama's generation, that's how they disciplined. Amen. I never had to go get my own switch. Mama wanted the right one to start with. Amen. And while she was whooping me, there wasn't sweet fellowship. Now I was repenting without a doubt. Amen. When that switch was eating my legs up, and you can see I grabbed my leg because I just thought about it. Amen. That switch is eating you up. You go to repenting real quick. Man, mama hold me up by one arm and we'd dance. Hickory dance. Amen. And the whole time I'm hollering, I won't do it no more. I won't do it no more. I won't do it no more. And mama was responding in kind. I know you won't. I know you won't. I know you won't. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't try to hug mama right then. Mama wasn't in a hugging mood. Amen. Mama let you just kind of sit around for a little bit, letting all she just said to you, and all this happened to you, soak in real good. That fellowship was a little broken. But it wasn't long, if I would do right, there was a restoration. Amen. Are you hearing me good? Simple illustration. But yet fellowship can be broken. Though our relationship cannot change, our fellowship with God does. Now, there's four things I see as I read the text here this morning on how to get out of fellowship with the Lord. Can I say, first of all, they got out of fellowship. They got away from the Lord in this text, but first because they quit talking to him. I do not find Mary and Joseph having anything recorded trying to talk to Jesus until they go back where they left him. Hello. When they went back where they left him, then we find Mary speaking to the Lord. Hey, do you understand? Our main lifeline between us and God is our prayer life. It is more important than anything else in your life. Because when you quit talking with the Lord, your fellowship begins to dwindle, begins to get interrupted with other stuff. You know what I find in my Christian life? If my prayer life stays strong, then my walk with God stays strong. But if my prayer life gets weak, if I'm not talking to him as much as I should, then that fellowship is hindered. That fellowship is not what it could be. Amen. Hey, they quit talking to him. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you talked to him? Now, somebody said, well, we prayed today. I hope you've prayed other than this service today. Now, I read this years ago. You've heard it probably too. I wrote it down just to remind me of it this morning. The saying was this, and I don't know who originally said it, but it's true. They said this, 1 week, W-E-E-K, 1 week with no prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. And that's right. The reason we have such a shallow Christian lives and our fellowship is not what it could be or should be with God, it's because we quit talking to him. Some here today, the only time you talk to him is if you want something. There's more to prayer than a wish list and a want list. That prayer is also that key for fellowship, for that closeness that we can have with God. But when we quit talking to him, ladies and gentlemen, then our fellowship gets interrupted. Oh, you said this is awful simple preaching. Yeah, but it's always where we're living at. We all experience what I'm talking about today. When you're not spending time with him. Now, if I had a dollar for every time I've been at church in all these years of preaching, and someone would say to me at the back door shaking hands, I just about shouted today. Now, them saying that to me does not bother me. I wouldn't say nothing to you. I hear that a lot. But here's the phrase that concerns me. They say, because I wasn't sure it was the Lord saying to do it. Now, this place is pretty big. A lot of folk here today. But if one of my children hollered out, I could tell you it was my child. Why is that, preacher? I'm with them so much. There's a communication between us and the place. They recognize my voice. As a matter of fact, they can recognize this. Amen. That's a quick sign. Perk up, listen up. Judgment day's coming. Amen. You don't do that, that's fine. Don't blame that. Don't get on me about it. They just recognize a lot why they're around me. Amen. But when we don't, we say, well, what should, so, well, spend more time with him. Talk with him more. Amen. Hey, we're not going to shout. Matter of fact, I couldn't have had a better song introduce this message than Bring Back the New. Amen. Because a lot of times our fellowship has been interrupted. We may not even recognize it. And God just has to say, hey, wait a minute. There's something wrong in your life. Well, why, preacher? Why do we get off fellowship? Well, just as we quit talking to it. We're not spending that time with the Lord. Not only they quit talking to him because they never say nothing till they go back. But secondly, they got that fellowship was not there. They had lost his presence because they took their eyes off of him. Amen. You see, they're in this great company in Bible days, but they weren't, that's no cars and planes, trains, buses, those things. But a lot of folk traveled on foot. Some had mules, some had camels, but they would travel in groups. And they say that the ladies would walk ahead, the men would kind of follow behind, and sometimes the younger children with the women, some of the older children with the men, and they would walk, and they had fellowship and safety as they were journeying. But something happened on this day. Joseph and Mary had taken their eyes off the Lord and got looking at others and other things. And they did not know the Lord's not in the midst. Amen. Hey, I'm trying to help us today. Hear me real good. Some of you are in grave danger this morning because everything you talk about, it's looking at other things and other people. And when you get your eyes off the Lord, your fellowship will get broke. Amen. Are you hearing me? The Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, not each other, not on Washington, not on world events. We need our eyes locked in on Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, you watch me long enough, I will disappoint you. If I watch you long enough, you will disappoint me. Amen. We cannot keep our eyes on each other. I'm amazed at how little people look to the Lord and worship the Lord at church, because when they talk to you afterward, all they can tell you is all the wrong that went on in the service. Amen. You can get as quiet as you want to. I'm going to preach. I'm done. Amen. Because what's happened to us, church? Our eyes have drifted off the Lord. You know you always get in trouble when you take your eyes off the Lord. If you don't think so, you ought to look into your Bible. We find Lot got in trouble because he began looking at well-watered plains. Abraham kept looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. But Lot got his eyes off of that and got his eyes on well-watered plains. And we know how he wound up. What about Achan in Joshua chapter 7? That's the children of Israel going through Jericho, and God's given them the land, and boy, they're going in after their possession. But something happened in Joshua chapter 7. The Bible speaks of Achan. The Bible said this, as his own confession, I saw. You see, he got his eyes off what they're supposed to be doing, and he saw a Babylonian garment and some gold and some silver. And it got him in trouble and got the whole nation in trouble. Why? He took his eyes off the main thing. Amen. What about King David? Just a minute. King David got in trouble in 2 Samuel 11. He wasn't where he ought to be, and therefore his eyes weren't where they were supposed to be. And the Bible said that he saw a woman. Amen. What's happening, preacher? Eyes are going off the Savior, going on to something else. What about Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10? Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you know Philemon says that Demas is Paul's fellow laborer? That's what he says in that little letter about Philemon. We find that he says, this man Demas is my fellow laborer. But what happened to Demas? His looking, He quit looking at the Lord and he got looking at Thessalonica and everything Thessalonica had. He got looking at this world and it began to affect his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, your fellowship will get broke when you take your eyes off the Lord today. Oh, friend, not only see how they quit talking to him, they took their eyes off of him. Let me say number three, they quit traveling with him in this text. For the Bible says, Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in the country. Listen to this, when a day's journey, they quit traveling with the Lord. Let me explain something right here. Understand this. In our walk with God, it is, and the correct wording is, our walk with God. That word with's powerful. Very powerful. For that word with means the one that we're walking with is controlling the path and the pace. If I'm saying I'm walking with you, if I'm dominating, I'm not walking with you. You're having to keep up if you choose to with me, or else you just quit walking. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, so many times in our Christian life, oh, we've walked with God. Amos 3 and verse 3, can't two walk together except they agree. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like walking with God today. But when we cease to walk with him, we find ourselves drifting. We find ourselves in other places that we shouldn't be. Doing things we should not be doing. Amen. Hey, we find our fellowship gets broke when we're not traveling with the Lord like we should. We're doing our own thing. The Bible said in Psalm 23:2, and remember that great psalm of the shepherd and the sheep there. Verse 2 said, he leadeth me. We're not leading the shepherd. The shepherd is leading us. It's how it's supposed to be. Amen. So we get in trouble. Our fellowship gets broken when we don't talk to him, when we take our eyes off of him, when we don't travel with him. Oh, let me say this, number four. Their thinking was wrong about him. You get out of fellowship when you're thinking wrong about the Lord. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, look back at verse 44 again. But they supposing him to have been in the company. Won't you look up here just a minute? How many times have we thought in our Christian life, well, the Lord's in all this, God's with me, but when you really sit and get really looking real close, you find out we're out here somewhere by ourselves. Amen. Are you hearing me real good this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, hey, we get think, well, me and the Lord's having good faith. Are you? Are you in fellowship with God? Or have you just got thinking you're still in fellowship with God? Not only in this supposed, but notice in verse 48, their thinking's wrong because they blamed him for not being there. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, that's when they went back to Jerusalem at the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I saw thee sorrowing. Now, some people look at this text and we want to try to go different ways, but I want to say something because of being a parent. Sometimes we've got on our children and what they've done was being children. I want you to think about that because I'm notorious. I have to admit that. Sometimes I want to say, boy, they've done this, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. If a child disappears, are you listening right here? I mean, think about something just a second. We ain't talking with them. I took our eyes off of them. And then we want to, man, you tore everything up. It's all your fault. Hey, wait a minute. Had they just been watching a little more? Now, they'll all thought you get preaching this text, get like that, they get nervous, get upset because of Mary. Listen, Mary wasn't God. There ain't nothing divine about Mary. She is a pure vessel, yes, indeed, but she wasn't divine. Amen. Hey, listen to me now. Hey, understand, their thinking was even wrong. Hey, when you began blaming God for stuff, how's your fellowship with him? It's revealing that our fellowship, something's happened somewhere. We're not where we ought to be, him, and there's things going on. Hey, marrying them. Matter of fact, that word sorrow in there. We began looking for you. Lord Jesus, we've been looking, sorrowing. I found it interesting. I was studying this text. That word sorrowing is the same word where we get our English word in Luke 16 for torment. I mean, they're tore up. They are at wit's end. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. We reveal where we are with God a lot in our life and our responses. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're talking about how to get out of fellowship. Preacher, how can I stay in fellowship? Oh, that's easy too. You just reverse everything I just said. You do talk to him. You do keep your eyes on him. Hello. Yeah, hey, you do travel with him. You let him call the shots. And you think right. You see, the Bible says we can think right. Because Philippians tells us, think on honest, just, and good report. You know something? I hadn't thought about this ever in all the years I've been preaching, but been until this morning when my mind got going back. Because I thought myself, Lord, what I'm giving to them is how they get out. But Lord, I realize that we reverse, it helped us stay in fellowship. And while I was thinking on that, thinking on those just, honest, good report things, the Holy Ghost took me to Revelation 2 and chapter 3 as Jesus introduced himself to every one of them churches. And one of me said, I'm the true and faithful witness. Over and over again. You know what? How in the world? Lord, you done me wrong. How can he do wrong when he's true? You think about that just a minute. He that's true cannot do wrong. Amen. Hey, our fellowship is the most important thing in our walk with God. Hey, you know what today? I'd love to preach and had you all smiles and everybody excited. But you know what? I'm interested in you having fellowship with God. You see, it's your right as a child of God. You now can have fellowship. You're saved. Your sins have been forgiven. Your name is in his book. You have a birthright to have fellowship with God now. Why live beneath your birthright? Amen. Hey, our fellowship is so, it needs to stay tight with God. Hey, where are you with your fellowship with God this morning? Could you do with that song, Lord, bring back the new again? I thought my heart, God, there's errors of my life. I need you to bring back that newness again in. Amen. Hey, I tell you, I believe God today laid this on my heart. I believe he set the song service up to touch your heart and get it prepared because our fellowship with God is so important in our day we live. Without that fellowship, we're going to be wandering. We're going to wind up in a mess, everything. That fellowship with God is of great importance. Miss Mary, I want you to come get ready to sing the song all over again for the invitation. Father, thank you now for the word of God. Take the message, use it for thy honor and for thy glory. I've done my best to be obedient to you this morning. Help us, oh God, Lord, to get up closer to you than we've ever been before. Lord, I love you. I praise you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy today. And Lord, all you do, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've done my best to preach what the Lord put upon my heart. I wonder this morning, is there someone here would say, preacher, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that in the building this morning? I see that young hand. Somebody else, preach, I'm lost. Preach, I'm lost. Maybe you're saved. You know that it's set in your heart. You know there's a time and place in your life. You pass from death to life, from darkness to light. But the day God's touched your heart and you say, preacher, pray for me and my fellowship with God be right. Amen. 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 Let's stand this morning. Folk are already moving toward the altar. If you need to come, would you slip out, find yourself in the altar of prayer? Let the Lord help you. That fellowship will keep you strong. It'll help you facing the trials of this life, the problems of this life, that closeness that we can have with God. While she sings, this altar's open. Will you come? It's so easy to get out of fellowship.
Lord, I know deep inside of me I'm not all that I could be.
Yes.
Lord, hear my earnest cry.
While folk are moving, will you go as well to an altar? Will you make that move?
With desire, like the flowers need the rain, I need you, Lord, to sustain.
Oh, yes.
Even David prayed the same.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, bring back the new.
Would you help your
again.
People this moment? Help them, Lord.
Lord, bring back the new again. Remind me of the times when.
Oh, yes.
Your spirit moved and then burdened me for souls of men. Father, bring back the new. Anoint me from within, that my vision grows not dim.
Oh, yes.
Lord, bring back the new.
While she sings this altar, will you come? God's touching your heart.
Lord, I want to.
He's a wooing you. He's a speaking to you. Why go home out of fellowship when you can go home in fellowship with the Lord?
Just let them see in me a reason to believe. Any good, Lord, that I might do, I pray they know it's only you. For I know it's in you I'll stand.
Let the Lord help you this morning while she's a-singing
again. Lord, bring back the new again. Remind me of the times when your spirit moved and then burdened me for souls of men. Father, bring back the new again. Anoint me within, that my vision grows not dim. Lord, bring back the new again.
While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, these are still praying the altar. I'm not rushing anybody. Could be somebody else still need to slip out of your pew and come. Oh, I'm glad that God renews. God can remold. I'm thankful for that. He restores. I praise Him and I thank Him for that. I appreciate how God lets us come together each service, how God sets the music and how God sets the message and how God works in our hearts as we assemble here. Appreciate what Brother Tim said in Sunday school. We don't respond correctly to the word and the services, we began to harden ourselves. Oh, I don't want to get hard on God. I want my heart to stay pliable, sensitive to His touch.